Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode number 43 of Preparing for the Inevitable, a podcast on how to handle and how to deal with trouble, suffering, pain, and death. I am your host, Daniel White III, President of Gospel Light Society International. This podcast will help you get ready to face the inevitable, unpleasant things that will happen in your life. Things such as trouble, suffering, difficulty, sickness, pain, and death. The death of people you love and even your own death. Trouble, suffering, pain, and death are common threads that run throughout all of humanity. They are inescapable. Just this past week, 13 senior adults on a Bible study trip, their van was slammed into by a person who was texting. 13 souls went out into eternity, just like that. We're having their funerals now. You will never meet a person who has not, is not, or will not experience these terrible things in life. Yet we attempt to hide from these inevitabilities, and even when they happen, we pretend and try to run on like they didn't happen. We pretend they don't exist, or that they won't happen to us. Oh, but they will. Our world is filled with news of people dying, children crying and suffering, entire governmental systems and organizations enduring trouble and turmoil. But we tend to see these as things that only happen to other people and never to us. Trouble, suffering, and death come equally to all people of all races, from every socioeconomic status, of every religion, in every country of the world, black, white, red, and yellow. And sometimes trouble comes double. It makes us all very equal, doesn't it? This podcast will show you how to accept these realities of life and not just cope with them, but face trouble, suffering, and death in your own life and in the world with confidence, courage, class, and most of all, with faith, hope, and charity. The Bible says in Revelation 9:6, "And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them." Now you know that this has to be the word of God to write something like that. That is beyond what we're dealing with on this earth. People wanting to die and death runs away from them. My, my, my. The featured quote for this episode today is an old Celtic teaching paraphrased by John O'Donohue. He said, "We do not need to grieve for the dead. Why should we grieve for them? They are now in a place where there is no more shadow, darkness, loneliness, isolation, or pain. They are home." Our topic for today is titled "The Christian Funeral, Part 3, from the book The Art of Dying, Living Fully into the Life to Come by Rob Maul. And I want to remind you to take advantage of our special offer. If you enjoy this podcast, please feel free to purchase a copy of this book, The Art of Dying, by Rob Maul. It is available on our website for just $20. The traditional Christian funeral and mourning rituals continued. Christians have always incorporated local cultures and particular practices into funerals, but there is nevertheless a unifying force in the practice of Christian funerals, writes Emory University professor and preacher Thomas Long, The Gospel Narrative. If we are to recover the funeral to its place of significance in the life of the church, we must start here. For in baptism we were buried in Jesus' death, and we arose in his resurrection. As Paul says in Romans 6:3-5, don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. The Christian funeral is a worship service that dramatically recognizes that the Christian life is shaped in the pattern of Christ's own life and death. A Christian funeral traditionally contained certain elements, rituals that honored the deceased and comforted the sorrowing. During the visitation at home, the family washed, dressed, and sat with the body in recognition that it is still created in the image of God and therefore sacred. The visitation was traditionally a period of waiting with the body until it was placed in its final resting place, the last step in its journey before the resurrection. The community visited the home for a period and then began a journey with the body to the grave. The procession stopped for a service at the church, then continued on to accompany the deceased until he was laid to rest. The funeral bound the grieving community together, and it publicly expressed the church's belief in the gospel that through the resurrected Jesus we have eternal life with God. The grave was nearby, likely in the churchyard with other relatives, friends, and friends' relatives. Mourners could continue to visit and remember the dead, who the church believed remained a part of the church community, by the way. They were asleep in Christ, awaiting his return and the resurrection. The community had been wounded by death, but it gathered its strength and recovered from the death. Death was not an event to be grieved by a solitary spouse or a handful of children alone. In this set of funeral rituals, the visitation, procession, funeral, and burial, the grieving congregation enacted the stories of the Bible texts at the heart of the community of faith, like Mary and the Apostle John, who stood at the foot of the cross, Christians attending the dying, like the woman with the flask of ointment, who anointed Jesus and washed his feet with her hair. They prepared the body for burial. They imitated the grieving Christ who mourned at Lazarus' grave, and the children of Jacob who interred their father's bones with his ancestors. These physical actions embodied their grief and pointed them in hope to the day their beloved dead would rise again. Beloved, if the Lord tarries his coming and we live, we will continue this topic in our next podcast. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, prepare us for life, prepare us for death, prepare us for funerals and prepare us for weddings, prepare us for good days and bad days. Help us to always, no matter what the case, to keep our hearts and minds stayed on you. Keep us, Lord, in perfect peace. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, please understand that after you die, you will be ushered into one of two places to spend eternity, heaven or hell. Here's how you can be sure that you will not go to hell and suffer eternal damnation forever, and rather have a home in heaven when you die. The Bible says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou you shalt be saved." Here's how you can be saved from sin and hell and have a home in heaven when you die, in more detail. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 7:20, "For there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not." Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In fact, I am the chief of sinners." So don't think that you're alone. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." The Bible says in Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Fourth, accept the fact that you cannot do anything to save yourself. The Bible states in Ephesians 2:8-9, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Fifth, accept the fact that God loves you more than you love yourself, and that he wants to save you from hell. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." With these truths in mind, dear friend, please believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul this very moment, and he will. The Bible states in the book of Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou, you, shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Dear friend, if you're willing to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation, please pray with me this simple prayer and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I realize that I am a sinner and that I have done some bad things in my life. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of my sins. I now believe with all of my heart that Jesus Christ died for me, was buried, and rose again on the third day. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul from sin and hell and change my life today and forever. Amen. Beloved, if you believed in your heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose again from the dead, allow me to say congratulations on trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior You have indeed done the most important thing in life, and that is accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, go to GospelLightSociety.com and read what to do after you enter through the door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Remember, dear friend, believe by faith, share the faith, and keep the faith. God bless you.